Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our epistle reading, we hear these words, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You know, when you go through life, you have to start asking yourself, as you're spending your time and energy on various tasks, spending 50, 60 hours a week in a job, or on the weekends working on some project at home, or going to some event with certain friends or family, you have to ask, why am I doing this? Sometimes you stop and ask yourself, especially if you're expending a great deal of time and energy and money on something, you stop and ask, why? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? And you have to ask the same question today about why you're here, in these pews, in this place on a Sunday morning. Why? Why are we here? Well, you're here calling on the name of the Lord so that you may be saved. Just like the man in last week's gospel reading was there in the temple calling out to the Lord for his mercy, not even lifting his eyes to heaven, but saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Make me right with you. I want to be saved. I want to be righteous. I want to be in God's favor. And that's why a person needs to come to church, is to call on the name of the Lord because they desire to be saved. They want to be rescued. Yes, from hell. They do not want to be separated from God forever, but also to be rescued as we pray, deliver us from evil at the end of the Lord's Prayer, to be delivered from the evils of this world. To say, I don't want forever to be living with disease and death and decay and sorrow and tears and pain and suffering. I don't want those things forever. I want to be delivered from evil. And I want to be saved. I want to be with my Lord forever, in perfect righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, where there are no more tears or sorrow or suffering because the old order of things has passed away. I want to be saved. And the only way to be saved is because of the Lord who paid for our sins on the cross to rescue us from sin and death and the devil. And so I come to him to call upon him for his mercy. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, as you did this morning once again. You said, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you. And then ask that he be merciful to you for the sake of Jesus. You're calling on the name of the Lord, on the one who has put his name on you in baptism, calling on him to save you. But we have to ask the question, if this is what our Lord does for us, then, and we're calling on him to save us, to do what he has promised because of Jesus, how did we get here to the point that we would call on his name? Why would we cry out to him? There are lots of other people in the world who are trying to find some other way to be saved, who are calling on other names, perhaps on other gods who are false gods, who require you to do some sort of work in order to earn the God's favor, in order to have eternal bliss, and even then, doing all of these works, you're not always assured that you will indeed be saved. There are lots of other people calling on lots of other names. And then there are those who are maybe not calling on a god, but they are by default calling on something else. They're looking for pleasure, for money, for friends, for family, whatever it might be, that they believe that is the thing that delivers them from evil. That's the thing that saves them, rescues them from all the pain and the suffering in this world. That's the answer. That's what's going to save me. But there is only one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only one name that we can call upon that will save us, and that is the name of the triune God, the one who has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh to bear our sins and be our Savior. Only he can save us. And so why is it, how is it that we are here calling on this name? Because we have believed in this name. We trust in him. We stake our life on this one. You call on the God in whom you trust, in whom you say, this is the one who's going to save me. And the Apostle Paul points that out. He says, how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? You see, a person believes and trusts that Jesus is their Lord, and then that results in them confessing with their mouth and calling upon the name of the Lord. A person doesn't just believe in their heart a certain number of facts about who God is. They then confess that with their lips. They come to church and call on that name and cry out to him. Because as Scripture says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you trust in will be demonstrated by how you speak and whom you confess as the one that saves you, that rescues you, that provides for you on a day-to-day basis. Because you believe in your heart, then you're going to go forth and throughout your day pray to this God in whom you trust and believe. But still the question is, well, how is it that someone believes and then calls on the name of the Lord and then is saved? How do we get to the point where a person believes? Because, as we said, there are lots of people who believe in other gods, who trust in other things to save them, and call on other things to rescue them from the evils of this world. Well, the Apostle Paul answers that question too, as he kind of moves backward from this end goal of salvation. How are they to call on the one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? So the way a person is saved who calls on the name of the Lord. And a person can only call on the name of the Lord if they believe in that Lord. And the only way that they can believe in that Lord is if they have heard of him. You must hear the word, the message of the gospel, the good news that Jesus has died on the cross for your sins. That must be proclaimed to you. But this isn't the end of the story, because we have to ask, well, how is it that someone hears? Well, the Apostle Paul moves back from there and says, well, the only way that someone hears is if someone preaches to them. God sends people as he sent his apostles. The word apostle means sent one. They were sent by Jesus to announce, to proclaim what Jesus had done on the cross. And even before that, God sent his prophets of the Old Testament to proclaim to the people that a Savior was going to come. And so God has used people and sent people to proclaim to other people who he is and what he has done for them, and that they can be saved and rescued from this valley of sorrow and be delivered to himself in heaven. But those people who preach, how are they to preach, the Apostle Paul says, unless they are sent. Jesus sends people, sends apostles, sends preachers, sends pastors, but also sends other Christians to invite others, to tell them about Jesus. He sends you, too, in your day-to-day lives, as parents to children or grandchildren, as friends, as co-workers, to tell others who are caught in the evils of this world, who despair of any help, who are trusting in other gods, who are calling on other names, who think that other things can save them, to tell them that there is only one name who can save them, that all other names, all other things of this world will fail and do not matter at the end of the day. That when you come to your last breath, the only one in whom you can hope is not yourself and your ability to save yourself and the things you have done, nor in any other name, nor in any other God, nor in any other thing of this world that will go away when you die and you cannot take with you. But the only name that can save you is the one who has died for your sins on the cross and has risen from the dead and has conquered death and has ascended into heaven and promises eternal life to his people, to those who call upon his name. Only this one gives us hope in the face of death. Only the one who has risen from the dead and has paid for sins so that we might have life. Only this one, only Jesus, only this name can save you. This is what we proclaim to others. This is what the church proclaims, what its ministers are sent to proclaim publicly, but what you proclaim privately to your friends, your neighbors, your family, so that people hear. And so that, like the man in today's gospel reading, ears are opened to hear. Tongues are released to confess Jesus' name. All because we heard the word of Christ. Through that powerful word that God sends us to proclaim, people's ears are open to hear the message and to believe in the only name that can save them. This is why you are here. You are here as one who has already heard this, whose ears have been open to the preaching of the word, whose tongues have been released to speak God's name. And for many of you, you have been washed in baptism. You have been made a child of God. God's name has been put on you. And now you come and call on that name. And the word that opened your ears and opened your tongue and that washed you with water, that word continues to sustain you so that you keep calling on the name of the Lord. It is only by that word, by the word of God proclaimed, that we keep calling on it. And so we continue to hear the word of the Lord here, but then also throughout our days, throughout our lives. And we continue to call on the name day after day after day, looking forward to the day that he does deliver us from all evil and that we are saved. So we have to ask each and every day, what are we doing? We have to ask here, why are we here? We are here to hear the word of the Lord so that we might call upon it. And even throughout our week, we need to be hearing that word. We need to be calling on that name. And we need to be sharing that word with others because it is the means by which our Lord opens their ears and opens their mouths and releases their tongues to speak his name, to call upon it, and to be saved. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.